Thank you, Lou. Well, I mentioned earlier we've been on a series called Jesus, Our Healer. Of course, we endeavor to be led. If there's other things that we need to cover in the middle, we don't just say, okay, we're on a series. You can't do anything else. Cover what we need to on any given Sunday. So it's been a few weeks since we've been on the series. All those messages are available, on our website, on YouTube, on our podcast, and you can listen to those. But we'll recap and get everybody on the same page and then go forward. But we go in depth in the things that we're just flying over today. We've gone in depth previously. So I encourage you to go back, listen to them, because they do build on one another. But let's look at Acts 10:34. Thank you, Lord. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Mm-hmm. Means God doesn't play favorites. But in every nation who fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which you proclaim throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So verse 38, there's just a lot here that we've unpacked, but we're just going to touch on these things here as we go forward. But verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good. So Jesus went about doing good, and what is some of the good he did? And healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So, number one, if you want to know the will of God, look to Jesus. We talked about that. Jesus is the will of God in action. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus while he walked on the earth. And so Jesus went about doing good, and part of the good he did is healing. So that's God. God's will is not separate from what you see Jesus did. Jesus went about doing good and healing, so that's God's will. That's God's will for us. In other words, it's not Jesus. Well, sure, Jesus did that. He's nice, but God. No, Jesus is the will of God. When you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Jesus said, I've come to do my Father's will. So it says he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So some of the good that he did was he healed. And notice, he healed all who were oppressed by the devil. So the devil is bad. And sickness is bad because Jesus was doing good and he was healing sickness, and the sickness was coming by the devil. So the devil's bad and sickness is bad, and it's from the devil, not from God. God's not going around correcting things that he did. He's not working against himself. In other words, it's not like God the Father put this on him. Jesus comes and heal it. No, they're not opposed. God the Father's will is what you see Jesus doing, which is to heal the destruction and the death that is introduced into the world by Satan. Satan is the author of sickness and disease. The reason sin is in the world is because of the devil's sin. He introduced sin in the world, and death came because of sin, and sickness is death. I mean, sickness actually can result in death, but just sickness itself is the body being in a state that God didn't intend it to be in. It's death. It steals. It's a thief. It steals from us, steals our time, steals our emotional energy, steals, obviously, our health, steals our money. And so it's not good. You think that would be easy, but there's just so much in the world in Christianity that would tell us that somehow God is in sickness somehow, that's his will. You never know. That's what people will think, that you just never know what God is going to do. That's not true. And if we don't have that settled, we're not going to be able to believe, because we're not solid on the fact that God's good and that he wants us well. We think it might be his will for us to be sick. If we believe that, it's impossible for us to walk in faith. So we need to have that settled. We went over a lot of those things. But let's look at Isaiah 53:4-5. Again, we're just flying through some of these things that we've covered in depth so we can move on today, but just to at least recap and get people generally on, get us all on the same page. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Verse 4 in the Amplified Classic, it says, surely he has borne our griefs, and this brings out more of what that means. We read this in the Young's Literal before, and this just brings out just more connotations of what the griefs means. It literally means sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. So when you see borne our griefs, it literally means sickness. So he borne our griefs, that is our sicknesses, our weaknesses, and distresses. This is prophesying about Jesus. And he carried our sorrows and pains of punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. In other words, we thought it was he was suffering for himself, but he was suffering for us. But notice it says that it was sicknesses and it was pains. And so furthermore, we went in depth on this, but the words bear and carry there, where it says he's borne our griefs or sicknesses and carried our sorrows or pains. Those words, literally, if you go down, we're not going to take time to read it because we've gone over it in depth, but if you skip down to verses 11 and 12 in that same chapter, Isaiah 53, 11 and 12, those words, the way it says he's borne our griefs, he's borne our sicknesses, he's carried our pains, carried our sorrows, the same words that are used there are used in verses 11 and 12 about sin and iniquity. So in other words, the same way that he bore or carried our sin and iniquity is the same way he bore our sicknesses and pains. And so you can't have one without the other. If we believe that he took our, he dealt with our sin and iniquity, the same, literally in the same chapter, talking about the Messiah, it says he dealt with our pain and our sickness. And so they're in the same package. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 3 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. And then literally the same verse it's talking about, this is a benefit, he does both. They're in the same package. So if we can believe that he took care of our sin, then we can believe he took care of our sickness. The same way we believe one is the same way we believe the other. He didn't deal with them separately. He dealt with them the same way. And so that when we hear the word of God on these things, faith will be there. It's not that we have to try real hard to think things. You just, the word sheds light. So let's read Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Then in the New Testament, it's referring back to Isaiah, quoting Isaiah, in case there was any doubt about what those words mean. Verse 16, it says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. This is Jesus. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So it's saying, it's literally saying Jesus was going about healing, and through Matthew, the Holy Spirit is saying, this is to fulfill what Isaiah the prophet, what we just read in Isaiah 53, said, that he himself, the Messiah, who is Jesus, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So he's saying, this, what you're saying, is the fulfillment of this verse. He's healing, and that's what the verse was referring to. So Matthew is interpreting Isaiah. The Holy Spirit, through Matthew, is interpreting what the Holy Spirit said through Isaiah, that the Messiah would deal with sickness and disease the same way he dealt with sin. That means he bore them, he took them away, they're already paid for. And finally, in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. In other words, Jesus, when he took that punishment in his body, he was actually, that was a payment whereby we could be healed. So God still forgives all that come to him today, and he still heals all that come to him today. God forgives sins and heals sicknesses on the same level. And if he was the healer yesterday, you know, we read that in Exodus 15, 26, the Lord, he is the physician. He is the Lord who heals you, Jehovah Rapha, one of the seven redemptive names of God. If he was the healer yesterday, has he abandoned his office of healer today? No, he's the same. God, all God's characteristics, they're the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Hebrews 13, 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if he's the God, he's our peace today, he was the peace yesterday, he's our peace today. If he was the healer yesterday, he's the healer today, and so on and so forth. He is the same. He hasn't stopped becoming our healer. And so we can have that settled, and when we have that settled, now we can believe him. Now, Hebrews 11, 1, let's look at this. We spend some time here, and then we're going to go forward. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. In the NIV, it says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. In the GW, it says, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. So faith literally means assurance or belief or persuasion, confidence. So when we say we have faith, it's not just a religious term. It means we have confidence in something. When we're talking about faith in God, we're talking about being assured, having confidence, being persuaded that something's true concerning God and how he relates maybe specifically to us. And so when we're talking about faith for healing, we're talking about the fact that we are convinced of something, that we believe, that we're persuaded. Faith is being persuaded or convinced. Believing means to have faith. When you say believe, it means that you have faith in something. If you believe something, then you're persuaded of it. So if you have faith in a person, means you're convinced or persuaded concerning things about the person. If you have faith in God, it means you're convinced or persuaded about things concerning God. So it's that easy. Is that faith means you're convinced. You say, well, I don't know if I'm in faith. Well, are you convinced of something? Are you persuaded about? Are you sure? Is it solid? Then that means we have faith. Go back and real quick put up that last verse we had, Hebrews 11, 1 in the GW. It says, faith assures us. So when it says assures us, that word in New King James, it was substance. Faith is the substance. NIV, faith is the confidence. Here it says, faith assures us of things we expect, or the other word says hope for. So when you see hope in the Bible, in the New Testament, it'll help that if you substitute expect, because that's what the word means. It does hope. When we say hope, we think wish. Like I really hope something happens. I hope we don't have any more snow this year. See, that means I wish it were true. Am I confident about that? No. No, I'm not. But do I wish it were true? Yes. Yes, I do wish it were true. But the way Bible hope is, the way it's saying here, is that I confidently expect. So if you were to say, do you believe it'll snow anymore, that we're done with snow, and I said, I hope so, that would mean I confidently expect that that's the case. I trust, I'm expecting no more snow. That means I'm here. It says faith, if we look at the GW again, faith assures us of things we expect, convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. So faith assures us of things we hope or expect. Faith, which is confidence, which is persuasion, which is being sure of something, is why I would expect something. So when you bring it to snow, I'm not confident. I'm not convinced. That means I don't have any faith concerning it. That means I just wish it. So when we talk about something that God has said in the Word, if we say, well, I have faith, well, are you convinced of it? Well, no, I just hope it's true. Well, then we know. We just located ourselves. I'm not really believing it. We got to know that. But how do we get to the place where we believe it? we hear what God said. That's why we've gone over the Word of God in depth concerning the thing, and there's many scriptures that we haven't gone over concerning healing and what God says concerning the physical ills of the body and what God has done. When we see what the Word of God says, that's how faith comes. It doesn't, you don't have to do mental gymnastics to try to get into faith. We just see the truth, and then faith will be there, and we have a decision whether we're going to cooperate with that and act on that or not. Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what I've done just since we've started is sum up a lot of everything we've said. So I know I'm flying over a lot, but we've spent many sessions going over this, but just so that everybody can hear it and generally on the same page, you can go back and listen to some of those. But all the content, at least we've touched on the majority of it. But Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith, you could say persuasion, confidence, convincing, comes by hearing the Word of God, by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So you got to hear what God's Word says, and then that's how you get to be convinced. So if we're not convinced, we don't need to try harder to be convinced. We need to hear the truth, and that faith will come, but then we still have something to do with it, which is what we're going to focus on, and we've talked about last time. But faith comes when we hear the Word of God. When the truth comes, then light is there. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of your words gives light. So, you know, if you have a dark room, you know, when, like in our room at home, we got darkening shades or curtains. Well, no, I mean, in our bedroom, we just have curtains. And then, you know, I'll put stuff around the top and whatever so that the light doesn't come in. But in the morning, it still peeks in some. But when I open those curtains, light comes in. So what was, you know, there's a little bit of light in there, can kind of see, you know, depending on what time of the morning it is, you can kind of see. But when you open those curtains, now I can really see. Why? Because there's light there. I don't have to do anything with my will. I just have to decide I'm going to open the curtains and I can see. I don't have to say, oh, I hope the light will pour in this time when I open the curtains. I know. I can see the light peeking around, and I open, and it's just, there it is. So the Word of God brings light. So if we don't have light on something, what do? We go to the Word of God. We read the Word of God. Depending on what it is, we're talking about healing. If I don't have confidence in healing, what do I need to do? I don't need to just pray real hard and say, God, just give me faith. That's not biblical. I don't say, oh, I just want to try real hard to believe. I know that's what I'd like to have, so I got to try real hard to believe God. Do I try real hard to get the light in the room, or do I do something that lets the light in? I just open the curtains. Well, that's like reading the Word of God. I put my eyes on the Word, and faith comes when I look at the Word concerning this. Wait, Jesus, He paid for healing in the same package as salvation. And if I've already believed for salvation, I can believe for healing. I don't have to try hard. I have to know what the Word says so I can say, well, that's true. I'm confident of that. Now I'm going to do something to walk in it. So I don't exercise my intellect to try to believe. There's no try to believe. I look at the Word of God, and faith comes, and then I choose to believe that. Faith is going to come there, but I can choose not to believe. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. I choose to believe. I choose to act on what God said. So I could see it, and I could decide, I'm not going to do anything with that. Or I could say, God said it. I believe it. That settles it, and I'm going to act like I'm going forward on it. And when we act on it, that is, and we talked about it last time, that's like the switch. Faith is the switch that connects us with God's, what his provision, what God's done, what he's provided. It connects us with God's plan and what he's done. In other words, he's already done it. He's already provided. Jesus already paid the price for healing. These are the scriptures we read. But for it to become real in my life, I have to believe something. Faith is that switch that connects me with what God's done or what he wants to do. And we talked about it, like this room has electricity, and electricity is in these walls, in the wiring. But the way these lights come on is by moving a switch into the on position that connects these lights with the flow of electricity. If I were to go back, and I'm not going to do it right now, and turn off all those lights, we say turn off the lights, what we're actually saying is we're moving the switch that I'm not touching the lights. I'm touching the switch and moving the switch into off position that stops the flow of electricity into these lights, and it goes dark. It all hinges on those switches. When I flipped those switches to on, that wasn't the time the power started flowing in the walls. It's already in the circuitry. It just isn't reaching the lights. But it's available. In fact, I could have those light switches on, but if I go back and plug something into the wall outlet, that will work, because that wall outlet is connecting to the electricity, but that doesn't have anything to do with the electricity getting to these lights. That's governed by that switch. So the power is in the walls. When we are done here today and turn off all the switches and leave, this room is dark, the electricity is still there. And it'll still be there. When we come in and we flip the switch, that's not the time that the electricity showed up. That's the time that the electricity that's already there hits these lights. And this is the same way with the things of God. God has already provided salvation. He's already provided healing. And the way it becomes actual in our life is we believe what he said. It's not when we believe that it made the provision, because he's already made the provision, just like the electricity is already in the walls. Faith is that switch that connects his provision to our lives. He's already the savior of the whole world. But he doesn't become a person's, people don't become saved and children of God until they believe what he's already done and react. And then something happens on the inside. They become a new person. They become born again. And now they're a child of God. Did Jesus die the moment that they believed? No, he died 2,000 years ago. He rose from the dead. He paid the price. But it's when they believe that it becomes actual in their life. It's the same way with healing. It's the same way with every area. So faith is the switch that connects us with what God has provided. So we need to exercise our faith in some way. We do that by acting on what the word says. We release our faith. In other words, how we move that switch is by acting on the word. If we know that God's word is true and we act on it, then it becomes reality in our lives. So sometimes we substitute just agreeing with God's word. You could call it mental assent. Mentally agreeing that God's word is true, but we don't act on it, that won't get the job done. That's like, I agree that switch will turn on the lights. Yep, 100%. It'll do it. I know it'll do it. But if I don't move that switch, nothing gonna happen. But I could believe it to that degree. I could say I believe it, but if I'm sitting here in the dark and I'm like, oh, I wish it were light. Well, Jim, move the switch. I believe that switch. If I moved it, it would move. Well, move it. And I just stay here. I don't believe it enough to move it. I don't actually believe that I'll have light. You say that's a dumb example. That's what happens. We sit there and go, God, I when you heal me, I'll believe. That'd be like me sitting here and go, I will believe that switch. I believe it, but I'll really believe it when the lights come on without me moving the switch. You say, Jim, move the switch. No, I know the switch will do it, but I will believe it when the lights come on. Why should I believe something before I can see it? Why should I do anything before I can see it? Why should I have to switch that on? God's sovereign. Why doesn't he turn the lights on? Jim, move the switch. I believe God can do anything. I'm saying somebody could say this. Why doesn't he just turn on the lights? He knows I'm in the dark. He knows I need light. And if it were God's word to me that if you switch the lights on, or switch that switch, change the switch to the on position, the light will come on, and I say, I believe that, but I'm in the dark, and I believe God should do it. If I told you, let's just back up and say, if I told you that the light switch governs the lights, and you say, I don't need, everybody knows that. But let's say you didn't know that, and you walked in, and it's dark. Say, it's dark, I need light. Yeah, if you go switch that light to the on position, it'll do it. And if I sat there, or you sat there, and just wallowed in the dark, and expected it to just go on, then you don't actually believe what I said. It's the same way with the Word of God. If we say we believe, yeah, I believe every, I mean, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I believe it. I don't know why I'm not healed. I don't know. I don't know why I believe it. I don't know. We gotta bring it to the point where what am I? So if I said that, I'm showing at that point I don't actually believe it. One way we act on the Word of God is by what we say. We have to act on the Word of God. One way we can act on the Word of God is by saying we've got to do something and believe to give action to our faith. In other words, if I say, or if I would tell somebody, I believe that switch will turn on the lights, but I don't actually do anything with it, then I don't believe it. If I say, God, I believe that God has healed me, but then in the same breath I go, I don't know why I'm not healed. I don't know why it's not working. I am actually contradicting what the Word of God says. One way we act on God's Word is by what we say. And people say, well, I got to do something. Saying is doing something. And it's a good place to start. It's not the only thing, but we have to act on the Word of God in order for it to do anything in our lives. The way you become healed, or the way you become saved, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you just say, well, I want to be saved, the Bible tells you how. If we will agree and say, no, I declare Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart, I already believe, I'm declaring something and I'm acting on it, that's when we're healed, or when we're saved. It's the same thing in every area, and it's the same thing with healing. Regardless of how else we act on the Word, what we say should align with the Word of God. What we say, if we'll start making what we say align, that is acting on the Word. Mark 11, 22, let's read it. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Just read verse 24 as well. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So verse 22, if we go back there, it said Jesus is saying, have faith in God. So what is faith? It's confidence. It's persuasion. It's being convinced. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So whoever believes what? That whatever things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So if we believe that what we say actually matters, we'll have what we say, which is what we're going to go over a little more. There's more scripture. We need more scripture concerning this. But what we believe the word of God concerning an area, if we actually believe it, our mouth is going to line up with what we say we believe. If we say we believe it, but we're like, yeah, I just don't know, that's an action that's contradicting what we say we believe. I mean, when I say, we would say, oh yeah, I believe it, but at the same time we're saying, I don't know why, that's contradicting. That's not acting like it's true. If you were to say that concerning me, yeah, I believe Jim's trustworthy, man. And then the same breath, you're like, yeah, I don't know why. I don't know if he'll show up. He told me he's going to show up at 3 o'clock, but I don't know. But he's trustworthy, but I don't know. It doesn't matter. You, me, whoever it is, we don't actually believe it. If you did believe that I was trustworthy, yeah, he told me he's going to be here at 3. He'll be here. He 2:59, not here. He'll be here. And if there's a reason he needed to be late, because I'm a human, we're not talking about God things then no, he'll show up. He will be here. In other words, he's not going to flake out. If you started going, well, I don't know. I mean, you never know what Jim, no, then you don't believe it. I don't believe it. We're showing. And you say, well, that's just kind of dancing around it. I mean, I believe it, but then I'm just speaking the truth. Well, what's the truth? See, I'm not convinced of the truth. If I'm convinced, I won't be double-minded and I won't be double-speaking. That is a way to act on it. And here's the thing. Our faith keeps pace with our confession or what we say. I'm going to say it again. Our faith keeps pace with what we say. If we'll start agreeing with the Word of God with our mouth, we're hearing that, it will actually strengthen our faith, and we will be going the right direction. When we say we believe something, or we would assent to it, but we start saying something opposite, it's hurting our faith. We're going the opposite direction. And our faith is going to be hurt. We are actually acting contrary to the Word of God when we take sides against what the Bible said in any area. So we're talking, this works in every area, but when we're talking about physical healing for the body, we've got to know, number one, what the Word of God says and become convinced of it, and then we've got to do something. We've got to act on it. We say, well, God said it. That's what I believe. Well, it doesn't look like it. Yeah, but God said this. I believe it. I'm acting on that. See, you're not just making something up. I'm not making something up. I'm acting on what God said in spite of anything that I see or feel. This is the way that we go forward with Him. Look at Joshua 1 verse. Let's skip down to verse 8, if you could. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law, now this is in the Old Testament. What we would say now is the Word of God, because that's all they had is the book of the law at that point. The Word of God, or the book of the law here, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And read it again. So we would put verse 8, that he said the book of the law, but we have the full Word of God. So whatever the Word of God says, that's what we're focusing on. So we could say, the Word of God shall not depart from your mouth. So you're going to say what the Word says. Amen. We're going to say what God said. Shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Meditate brings with it the idea of muttering, of saying. You're meditating, you're going over it. You're going over it mentally, but you can be going over it with your mouth. You're saying, no, Jesus has bought and paid for my healing. He took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. His benefits. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. He is the Lord, my healer. Amen. You look right now, you know, something, some symptoms in your face. You say, no, the Lord is my healer. He took it. He paid for it. And you could, now you start vamping off these verses, start saying stuff for yourself. No, this thing, it is got to bow to the name of Jesus. He is my healer. He already paid for this. He paid for it the same way that he paid and bore my sin and iniquity. And so he has already paid for me to be well. So I am healed because of what he did. He is my healer. God's my healer. God's my healer. God's my, that's meditating. What are we doing? We're aligning our mouth and then our thoughts with what he said. This thing, you know, the thoughts will come, well, there's no way you can be healed of this. No, God's my healer, and he has got victory over every sickness and disease. It is nothing before him. This will have to bow its knee to him. This will go. My body works normally. What are we doing? We're agreeing with what he said. That is a faith. That's acting in faith. You say, well, you're just making stuff. No, I'm not. I'm basing on the word of God. I'm saying, I am convinced, I am persuaded that what God said is true more than what I see and feel. So I am putting it into action, and I'm going to say it right in the face of something that looks like it's dominating me. No, it's not dominating me. God's bigger. And you can just say, my body works well. Whatever that area is, no, it works correctly. It functions normally. You say, well, the tests don't say that. I am saying what God said. And what the natural is, it's going to change because I believe something in spite of what I see. Can you go put up back? Jump back to Hebrews 11:1 again in the GW. Just put that up. Faith, so being convinced, being persuaded, being assured, faith assures us of things we expect. So we're expecting, we're not just hope, we're not just wishing, we expect something, and it convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. What is it? Faith, which is believing, being persuaded what God said, convinces me when something I don't see in the natural, when it's not there, when I don't feel it, I'm convinced anyway. And what's a way that I can start acting on that? I speak it out. I say it. I start saying, nope, I believe something. That's my assurance. That's my convincing. That's the foundation under what. Why are you expecting it? The tests say this. Because God said something, so I'm expecting the test to change. Amen. I can run it again. Don't be moved by a test. Okay, so that just gives you a snapshot. That's right. If it wasn't there last year and it went down, it can come back up. Yeah. It's movable. Right. Doesn't have to go one way. Why would I believe it would come back up? Why would I believe it would go into normal range? Because of what God said. And I believe that, so I'm going to say that. You may have to say that when nobody else is around. When the thoughts are trying to hit you, this is going to take you out. This is going to happen to your child. That's when you have to say it. Say it. You know how you dominate the thoughts in your head? Start speaking it out of your mouth. That's acting on the word. Don't let those things just bounce around in your head and just push you down. Start going, no, my God is my, this will work in any area, but my God is my healer. He's bigger than this, and this will function normally. My body will behave the way God created it to behave and work. I believe what he said. I believe what he said. Look at Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we say, we can start speaking. Well, I don't know. I guess it's going down. Here's the thing. We are on this earth for a short period of time. I don't care if it's 100 years, 120, whatever. It's a short period of time. We're here, and the way we get around in this earth is we have a body. And this is more clear to me than it ever has been. It's just a complicated machine. We're on the verge of AI. You know, I mean, AI is just developing so fast, and they have robots that can function to a degree, even humanoids. You know, they can walk and they can do certain things. Now, those look crude in comparison to our body. Maybe they think they look futuristic. This body, our bodies are so much more complicated. But you have different models of those machines. But that's not, the machine itself is not what's, the mechanism is not what's going to articulate it. It's whatever you program into it. The machine is just what gets that actual computer program around. The computer program is existing in there. The AI is existing in there, but it's telling the body what to do. That's all that's going on with us. We have a spirit. We have a mind. We have a mind apart from your actual brain. Your mind thinks through the brain. That's like the AI is programmed into something physical. That's what we are. And so what you see when you look around is just the model that you were born with. And then that what we did with it, you know, we can take care of it different ways and it behaves different ways. We can be more or less fit, more or less healthy, you know, in certain ways, like, well, got stuff that I shouldn't have here or whatever, but it's just a machine that we have on this earth. And God said in his word that he paid for it to be well. Because this is the vehicle we get around with. And it affects every part of our life. If the machine is not working well, it's going to affect how we fulfill what we can do for God. And so it's not just trivial. It's not like, oh, I serve God, but it doesn't matter if I'm healed and well or not. No, it absolutely matters. And it's not that big of God, of a big a deal for God to fix our machine. It's just not. He knows. It may look like, oh, it's organic. It's an organic machine, but it's all just a machine. He can fix it. He created it. It'd be like, you know, when you think about it, you don't have to exercise tons of faith to go to the mechanic, change out a part in your car. It's just a machine. Well, God made a way for us to have our bodies well and healthy. Number one, that's his will for us, is for it to be well. Amen. And so first come in line with what he said concerning that God wants me well and strong and healthy. And you go and act on, and I act on what we're convinced on, how he leads us and guides us. Whatever that path is, however he's directing us, don't go and block out certain ways for him to lead you and guide you into health. It may be something natural. You may just get something done that takes care of something. And we'll talk more about some of those things, but be led. The bottom line is you want your machine to work. And don't cut stuff off. The bottom line is, what did God? God said he provided health and wholeness. So agree with that. And aligned, we align our thoughts and our words with what he said. And then we're led on what he says to do. Look at Romans 4:16. Romans 4:16, talking about Abraham. It says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace. I'm going to read a bit of a paragraph here, but I'm going to focus on a few parts. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God, this is an attribute of God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Let's look at that same verse in the Amplified Classic. Just skip down there. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. In the CEB, it says, as it is written, I have appointed you to be the father of many nations. So Abraham is our father in the eyes of God in whom we had faith. The God who gives life to the dead and calls those things, or calls things that don't exist, into existence. So this is something God does. But like in Mark 11:23, it said that he said, he who that believes, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says shall come to pass, he will have whatever he says. So when you say that, when we believe and act like or agree with God, we're acting like him. We're saying things that maybe we don't see, but we're calling them into existence. Why? On our authority? No, because he said it. See, he does that, but he told us to agree with him. We're not making something up and commanding him to do something. We're saying, God, you said that, and I'm going to agree with you. So by me saying your word in my mouth, it will do what you said it would do. I will agree with you because you are Lord. I don't care what I see. I don't care what's going on here. I agree with what you said. I'm going to put your word in my mouth and agree with what you said because I'm convinced that you're right. And so even if it doesn't exist, that's okay, because you, God, you call those things that don't exist as though they do. Well, you told me to agree with your word, so when I say your word in my mouth, it does the same thing. When I say and agree with what God said in his word and I speak it in my life, that's when it becomes true in my life. God already wills it. God already has paid for it in the case of healing, but for it to become real in my life, I'm going to have to agree with him. Now, can I get, we can go on this. I don't want to get off track here because we'll cover some of these things. God put healing in the body. We have healing. You just have natural healing in the body. We say natural. It's God's power in us. That's why we heal to the degree that we do. God, though, made a way through Jesus for us to be well every time. In other words, humans have been designed by God, and this machine we talked about has a measure of God's healing power. It self-heals. So if it's damaged, it will heal. That's God's design. So it's supernatural. When things, you get a cut or something, it doesn't just stay that way if things are working like they should. It heals up. It becomes your body clots and, blood clots and whatever, and it gets healed up. But God made a way through Jesus for our body then to be healed regardless. If we don't have Jesus, there's no guarantee of that. Say, well, that person's walking though and can't help. Yeah. And if something hits them, they don't have something that they can stand on to say, this will bow to the name of Jesus. Could they be walking healthy? Yeah, they could today. If something hits them, they're not relying on anything. But God, through Jesus, made a way for us, no matter what, for it to come out right. Psalm 103, verse 20, it says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. See, God's word, the angels do what God said, but the word of God in our mouth, the angels will do that as well. So the word of God in our mouth is powerful. If we'll agree with God in our life, align our words with what he's saying, then it can come, what his will is for our life can come to pass in our life. But we're the ones that flip that switch. When we choose to believe and we choose to act on the word, then we can walk in what he said. We're agreeing with what he said, regardless of what we feel, regardless of what we see. We are saying, God, I am convinced of your word and I'm going to speak it. Speaking is acting on it. And then whatever else he tells us to do, we're going to act on it with that. But you cannot, I cannot be in true faith and have our mouth contradict what the word says. If we say we're in faith and I'm going to act like physically in faith, but my words are contradicting the word of God and contradict my actions, there's no way I'm really acting in faith. I am contradicting myself. My words are going to line up with the word of God if I'm truly convinced. Thank you, Lord. We need to read a couple more scriptures. Revelation 12:10. We'll just skip to 11. It says, they overcame, talking about the enemy. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Notice, they overcame, and this is how we overcame, by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, what has been done by Jesus, and by the word of their testimony. In the Amplified Classic, it says, they have overcome or conquered him by means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of their testimony. So by speaking, it's what God has done and then what we do in reaction to what God has done. We're agreeing with him. We're saying, Lord, I agree with what you said. I agree that this word is true in my life. I'm convinced. I go back to the word. I get solid on that, but then I act on it and I believe and I hold there. Look at Hebrews 10:23. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Now, this is talking about faith in Christ, but it applies across the board to anything that the word says. Let us hold fast the confession or the saying of our hope. What's that? Our expectation without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Why am I saying something? Because I believe something of him who said it, and I believe he is faithful. So I am going to hold fast and say what he said, and that's why I expect something to change, because I believe he is faithful. So I don't just say it to say it. I say it because I'm convinced that the one who said it is faithful, is trustworthy, is right, and I'm going to act on it in spite of anything. See, if I just say, well, yeah, I believe it, but I won't act, I won't say, then I'm not believing. If I say, I believe that chair will hold me, even if I said it, but I'm not acting on it. See, we're talking about acting. Number one, if I didn't believe this at all, if I'm saying I don't believe that chair will hold me, well, I've already stopped. If Shelly told me that chair will hold you and I say, I don't believe, that chair won't hold me, well, I'm done. I'm not sitting on that chair. But if she told me that chair will hold me and I said, I believe that chair will hold me, I'm not sitting on it. You can sit on it. Christina, go ahead. I don't believe it. I mean, I can say I believe it, but I'm not sitting on it. What am I saying? I'm saying I don't really believe it. But how would you know if I really believed it? I would have no problem. And you guys, I doubt there's a one of you when you came into this room gave it a second thought when you sat on the chair. I mean, they look sturdy. You probably did not give it a second. You weren't like, well, I don't know today. You just sat on it. Why? You don't have any doubt that that'll hold you. You're convinced. So you just did it. There's no question, no talking about it, nothing. But if I'm like, I don't know, but I said, yeah, I believe it. Yeah, I believe that'll hold me. Yep. I could do, Well, now I know where I'm at. See, if I'm convinced, if I'm truly convinced, no. So here's the thing. If I'm convinced, and then even if I say it, but I won't sit on it, I'm not convinced. I don't care what I say. I don't care how many people I told. I don't care if I am saying. I can say it. That's one part. But if I, however I need to act, if I'm not acting, I've located myself. And God's word will not work for us unless we act. That's the difference. But if I'll just say, yep, I believe it. All right, here we go. In my head, you say it's easy. A chair's easy. But if it's something else where God is leading me and I believe God, but my circumstances say something else. If I'm sitting there waiting for them to change before I act, I don't believe it. I have to go over and say, yep, I believe, and here we go. Wow, God's word, the chair did hold me. Wow, God's word did hold me. And so it's an act. However God leads us to act, it will always include us agreeing with him and saying the right thing. Wouldn't it be dumb if I'm like, you can't do, I don't think you can really do this for a long period of time. If I say that, if I am sitting here, but I'm like, I don't believe this thing's going to hold me. I don't believe it. I mean, you say that's a dumb example. If you say that in life and keep saying it, I don't know how. Why am I sitting there? It just, there's nobody that actually does that, and you can maintain it. If we start talking wrong, eventually we're going to talk ourselves into not sitting in the chair. And you say that's dumb. Nobody does it. That's right, because nobody talks about it. They're sitting there, and they don't talk about it. Well, that's not the conversation any of you had this morning is, I don't know about these chairs. You know about these chairs? Nobody's having that because we've already moved past it. But with God, if we will act on his word and just locate ourselves, all right, I've said I believe this. Now, how am I acting on the word of God? If I'll push past that, I'm not talking about being foolish. If I'll push past it and decide, number one, I'm going to say what he says and I'm going to act on it, then God's word will work for us every single time. Amen.